Good morning and welcome to the regular Board of Directors meeting of the Harris-Galveston Supplies District. Today is February 14th, 2024, just after 10 a.m., and happy Valentine's Day. If you would please join me in the pledge to the flags. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item two on our agenda is to accept comments from members of the public. We have one person who has signed up, Melissa Rao, president of the North Harris County Regional Water Authority. If you would like to come up.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Turco and the rest of the board. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope that all y'all's microphones are turned up so if someone hears the recording, we can hear y'all very well. And you're actually kind of quiet when we're sitting in the back of the room. So hopefully we can figure that out. Last month, I asked about agenda item five, consider emergency permits. And I was hoping that someone on the board would say, hey, curious, what makes these be an emergency? And not one of you asked. I mean, you may have it in front of you, but the public doesn't know. They have no idea what makes these be emergency permits. It'd be interesting just to hear, and that's all I was asking. So I'm just asking that again, if when we get to agenda item number seven. I know the general manager approves these, but he's one person approving these permits. Do y'all know why, what makes them be an emergency? So it'd be great if the public could hear that. Also last month, someone on the board said, when it was brought up about the water authority, we came to y'all last year and said, hey, can you maybe push the dates back or the percentages back? And that never went anywhere. And I'm kind of curious if that letter, it was directed to the board of directors, and I'm wondering if y'all saw it, because someone on the board said that you've never heard of, discussed the percent change. You don't know where that's coming from. And so I'm wondering why y'all would not know where that'd be coming from. You should all be aware that we've sent a letter to the board of directors asking to either push the dates back or the percentages back. I would think y'all would all be aware. If you're not, I'm wondering if y'all got that letter from the water authority or not. And I think that's it. Okay, well, y'all have a great day. Thank you for the let me speak.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else who's signed up? So this is the opportunity for public comments. If anybody else would like to make comments to the board, you're welcome to do so. All right, we can go to item three on the agenda, administer the oath of office. Do we have anybody
today? We do not.
All right, that kind of dispenses with that one. Item four on our agenda, election of the board officers. As is our policy, each February we elect our board officers. So I'll open that up for any nominations.
Can I nominate to keep the slate what it is currently?
You can.
I second that.
All right, any other nominations?
Can we vote these individually, even though it's kind of a slate?
I can change my motion if that would help.
She made a motion to approve the slate. If Donna would like to, we can make a motion to divide the question and vote on each one.
So do we have to vote on whether we divide the question? All right, so that's the process.
I think it'd be a good vote of confidence for each one of the board officers and clearly identify who the board officers are by dividing
We have a motion to divide the question. Is there a second on that motion? Having no second, the motion fails. Then we will go back to the original motion, which is to approve the slate of officers as they are today. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, and I appreciate that. Hopefully we're moving in the right direction. If anybody has any issues, I do hope that they would bring them to me. So, thank you. Moving on, we'll go to approval of the minutes of the regular meeting held on January 10th, 2024.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion needed? Hearing no discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving the minutes of the regular board meeting held on January 10th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll abstain. I was absent.
All right, we have one abstention. Any other abstentions that we need to note?
I'll abstain also. I was absent also.
Okay, thank you. And then I guess any opposed? And none opposed, with the couple of abstentions noted. Motion approved. Thank you. Item six, receive hearing examiner's report and consider granting, denying, or amending applications for water well permits held in January 2024 or prior.
Good morning, Chairman Board. The report has been submitted for the recommendations for the persons who have made applications for renewals or for permits. Our modifications of current permits, there is one revised recommendation. That is the Glover and Sons Farm. Glover and Sons Farms has two wells in aggregate, well numbers 10337 and 10360. They are currently permitted for 10 million gallons. The application is for the renewal in the same amount. The is revised in that in the actually report is that take no action because the application and fees had not been received prior to the published report. The recommendation is that the board renew the permit for the 10 million gallons. However, that the permit have a provision that the permittee provide proof that the current of the accuracy of the current per meter on well number 10336, or just provide proof of an approved meter. The well serves a pond for 80 acres of sod, and it is an agricultural permit. Are there any questions concerning this revised recommendation or any of the recommendations in the report?
Do we have any questions from the board? Well, hearing no questions, I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anybody need to abstain from any of the permits?
North Channel Water Authority.
Bridgeland Development Corporation.
Any other abstentions to note? Any discussion needed? All right, well then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item seven, consider emergency permits reviewed by the general manager. As the board knows, these are items that we put on here for the board to have an opportunity to ask questions about any particular of these permits. So this is the opportunity to do that. Mike, do you want to address the commenter's
sure, I'd be happy
question?
To, yeah, thank you. I'd be happy to provide some additional information. So just the district rule 5.5 allows general manager to approve emergency permits. and authorize withdrawal. It's important to know that just because a well gets an emergency permit does not mean it does not go through the same process as all other permittees. It still goes through a public hearing. It still comes back before you for ultimate approval. Emergency permits can be requested for wide-ranging things. Anything from a well that's actually failed, and they have a well failure, to an unaccounted-for timing need with Harris County to make sure that they can get that in before they can do their construction. There's a wide range of those things. But in every case, when the general manager approves an emergency permit, it's being approved inside of longstanding approval process by the board. So there's no alternative water available. It's a clear-cut process for their permitting inside of our regulatory plan and inside of our rules. In the case where there's a emergency request that doesn't fall inside of that narrow envelope, the general manager takes no action on that, and it goes through the normal process without an emergency approval. That does happen. It doesn't happen very often because staff works very closely with permittees to make them aware of that issue before they go down the emergency permit route. So we have before you today are four emergency permits. None of them have alternative water available. They're all in Area 3, and they range from a construction issue to a neighbor cutting off their well and needing water for their mobile homes. And those are the types of things that we deal with.
And an emergency permit is about 2.5 times the cost of a normal permit, is that right?
Yeah, because we take that permit and basically put it to the front of the line and accelerate its processing on the staff side, we do charge an additional fee for that. So it's the regular permit fee plus the emergency permit fee that they pay for that.
If I could add, emergency approval is only good until the actual permit goes through the regular process. So all of these are going to have to they file the emergency application and a regular application. The emergency application gets approved, that lets us move forward with drilling the well and starting operations. But the regular permit has to still go through a regular hearing, comes back to the board, and has the opportunity at that time to say yes, no, put a condition to whatever they want to on that permit. So if somebody gets the emergency or the emergency is approved, but the ultimate application is denied, then they would have to go back and pay that permit on that well. And that's unlikely, very unlikely situations, and very unlikely when the general manager would approve something that really the board's not going to approve. But every well being developed requires approval of the board.
And that really is the litmus test. Like, if there's any possible angle on this thing where the board might have some considerations that would make that application not ultimately approved, then it doesn't move further in the emergency process.
So in many ways, these emergency permits are basically temporary permits because you have to come back and get your full permit.
Yeah, and it is an effort by the district to be accommodating to unforeseen needs of permittees out there and work with them to make sure that they can get the proper permits in place so that they can move forward and doing what they're doing.
So one more question, Mike. So this information is in our board packet, and so we see it. I mean, I see it in the board packet. I can't say that I've looked from the public perspective, because I get a board packet, I look at my board packet, I don't look at what the public sees. Does the public see this information?
So on our website, we publish our agenda and the minutes. We don't publish the actual entire board packet, but it is available upon request, and we provide that to folks when they request it.
We might consider doing that.
Yeah, we can make that modification.
All right.
Can I ask a question? On the first one, I see that it was a neighbor or something that cut their well supply off, and that's why we have to do that one. But the next two, is that new construction that's going on?
Yeah, so I mean, for like a concrete business, they'll need a permit for construction. They don't always know the timing of when that's going to start or stop, so those are typically emergencies when those start up. On the building occupying, it's I don't know the exact details on that one. I don't have it in front of me, but it could be that they came across a permit that they need to start up occupying of that building, and they this one got lost in the mix, and then they needed that to get the other permit. So that's typically what happens.
So some odd thing, before they didn't have water or something, if it was a new construction, I can see, oh, yeah. We gotta have a well, but.
Yeah, this is in Area 3, so it's possible that's a new construction.
And these aren't emergencies that you are deeming emergencies. These are emergencies that the person getting the permit deems as an emergency.
Well, and perhaps more importantly, it falls within the definition of emergency within our rules and regulations. Okay. We've always had a certain amount of frustration that it ain't an emergency. You just didn't know what you were doing. But to Mike's point, why delay the process? I mean, I think we're trying to be accommodating with people and, you know, help them through this process and hope they're going to be, you know, applicants in good standing going forward. So
better than a person just avoiding the process altogether and us having to go find a well we didn't know about initially.
That's correct. Yeah.
Over the years, we have had debates over whether this should be called a temporary permit rather than an emergency permit. And the board has kind of come down on the side of, if we call it temporary, it's going to increase the number of these types of permits that we have to look at. Want to keep the name emergency, discourage people from just putting off filing for that the application until it's their emergency or their, you know, they need the temporary permit. So they don't want to. What you're saying is that your ability to claim is not an emergency for me. We don't want to encourage people to put it off and come in and get emergency permits, get temporary permits, and so we kept the name emergency.
Well, they end up paying something extra for their, you know, your poor planning does not constitute my emergency.
And the last thing I'll add is that the number of emergency permits that are ultimately that are approved by the general manager is a very small number in comparison to the total number of permits on any given book in any given month. So it's not a problem. It's one of those things that are out there that I think is something that we'll always have to work with folks on. And it actually works pretty well.
All right, thanks for that explanation. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Any other questions regarding emergency permits before we move on? All right, thank you. Item 8, a resolution calling a public hearing for the purpose of hearing testimony regarding the determination of the effects of groundwater withdrawal on land subsidence during the year ending December 31st, 2023.
So the district, as you're all aware, spends a lot of resources in collecting data and understanding the impacts of our regulatory plan on the aquifer, on compaction, and ultimately subsidence within the district. Annually, we are required by statute to report out information related to all the data that we collect, not only that the district collects, but also that our collaborative partners collect. So this resolution just calls and sets that public hearing date. It's planned for Thursday, April 25th, 2024, at 9 a.m. in this building. And at that hearing, we'll provide information on the groundwater levels in the aquifer. That'll be provided by the USGS. District will provide information related to 2023 groundwater and alternative water use that was supplied by our permittees. And then also we'll provide information on subsidence rates and subsidence information that we've measured through our university partners and through staff.
So,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a measure that we consider a resolution calling for a public hearing.
Second.
For the purpose of hearing testimony regarding the determination of the effects of groundwater withdrawal and land subsidence during the year ending December 31st, 2023.
Second.
Thank you.
So we have a motion, and I think we had 2 seconds, but all right, that's good. Any other, you know, questions? This is something we have to do, required by statute. Any specific questions regarding this process?
Will the district be accepting information ahead of this meeting, or is it just questions and information submitted at the public hearing?
So typically what we do is we publish the information on our website about a week before the hearing, and we hold the hearing. The hearing will be broadcast. So folks who can't be here can watch the hearing and participate that way. And then the hearing is actually left open for a week or two afterwards to accept comments, and then those comments are included in the final report.
Will that be an audio video broadcast?
Yeah.
That we're...
Yeah, it'll be a webinar.
Okay, very good.
Augie, did you have a question? I thought you raised your hand.
Yeah, Mike already got it. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Then we have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the resolution calling the public hearing, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, receive briefing from the staff on the status of the joint regulatory plan review.
Hello, good morning, and happy Valentine's Day. So for our update for the joint regulatory plan review, our consultant team of Friesen Nichols and Intera have finalized the last scenario, which was exploring drought impacts. And as part of this process, they were also able to modify the demand to look at our own groundwater credit program that's offered through our water conservation school program. So they'll be taking a look at some of those groundwater credits as well. We will be receiving this information for our review actually later on today, and then we'll be presenting these results to an upcoming Science and Research Committee meeting. And the only other update is for the technical memo on Task A, which is population projections and estimated water demand. That should be finalized by Friesen Nichols at the end of this month. So we're getting in the mode of getting all the final documentations as we're wrapping up all of the scenarios and having an outline for the final report. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, us too, yes. It's an exciting time.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yes, thank you.
Item 10, our general manager's report.
Just a couple things to mention today. I wanted to make sure everybody's aware that we are in the process, or maybe have already sent out our second letter notice to permittees related to their annual groundwater report. All permittees are required to submit their annual pumpage and alternative water use to the district. We've gotten really good response so far in the online portal. The modifications that we've made there over the last couple of years have really resulted in more folks taking advantage of the electronic submittal of that. So what that means for us is less papers coming in, less hand entering of data, which is good. We still got to check it because some folks have a hard time reading their meter and knowing if it's in thousands of gallons or not. But those things are good for us to look at. So anyway, that's going well, and we're getting good response there, and expect to have all the information we need for the hearing in April. I do want to also mention that, again, on February 22nd, we'll have the Gulf Coast Water Conservation Symposium, and I reached out to all of you, I think late last week, regarding that meeting or that symposium. It's really gotten a lot of interest from the community, and I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback so far before the thing even starts, which is great. My hat's off to Ashley and Casey and Denise and all the hard work you guys have done to pull this together, because I think we got a great lineup of folks. We got some good topics to go over, and really just about promoting water conservation and getting more information out there to folks that can utilize it in their day-to-day lives. So. With that, we have some meetings coming up with GMA 14, and that meeting is going to be held up at the Lone Star Groundwater Conservation District at the end of the month. Region H has, I got a little information in there on Region H, and they're moving forward with their planning process, and that's really beginning to ramp up now as we get close to just really, we're in the order of months now away from having to submit the preliminary IPP, initially prepared plan for the state water plan. So at the same time, the regional flood planning groups have just, they're getting ready to start up their next round of planning. So there's a lot going on there. I have been contacted by agencies around us that are looking at frontier water management strategies, particularly seawater desal, and then also the availability of water in the Brazos River with some studies being done by the Water Development Board and the Bureau of Economic Geology up north of our area. So we'll be talking with the Science and Research Committee about those opportunities for us to be a part of a multi-agency team to look at these two things. All of that fits inside of our science and research plan, so that's just one more thing that we do. You know, the district, joint regulatory plan review project is a multi-million dollar project. We've got our other research and data collection that we do on an annual basis that is as comparable resources there. So the district puts a lot of effort and resources into the understanding and the documentation of how our regulatory plan impacts our natural resources. And it's great to see these other agencies looking to us to work with them to better understand and look at these frontier resources as our area continues to grow and we need to continue to understand and look down the road, planning for the future and not just for today, to make sure that there's enough water for everybody to facilitate that growth. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions for Mike? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That takes us to item 11, consultation with our general counsel on recent litigation or groundwater issues and legislative issues. And Greg, let me first say, welcome back.
Yes,
thank
you.
It's good to see you again.
Very good to be here, let me tell you. this will be an abbreviated report because of my condition. I can't stand up here as long as I used to, so you're welcome for that. The legislature has not been meeting, and right now we're in the middle of the primary season, which have a very unusual situation where there's kind of a war in the Republican Party. And in fact, there's three different factions now. There's the group that Governor Abbott has now supported primary opponents against those Republicans, especially in the House, that voted against his school voucher program. And AG Ken Paxton has another group that he is supporting primary opponents against because of their vote on his impeachment. So we'll have to be interesting to see how that all comes out next week when we have the election, and we'll see how the incumbents stand up against some fairly big money opposition to their continued service. The Democrats are kind of, you know, sitting back and you know, rubbing their hands and saying, this is delicious, we're enjoying this. on the litigation side, none of the cases have concluded, which is unfortunate. I thought we'd have a decision from the Third Court of Appeals right now on the LCRA case, which has not happened. We do have two cases now in front of the Supreme Court that are the Cockrell 1 and Cockrell 2, which have to do with timing of appeals in under Chapter 36 districts. I'm doing a presentation next week at the State Bar Water Law Conference on this whole question of how is an appeal timely? What do you have to do? Because typically you have to file a motion for a rehearing. That has to expire either by action of the board or by operation of law. And then you have a certain deadline by which you have to file your lawsuit. If you file it too early, if you don't wait for that motion for rehearing to expire, then the court does not have jurisdiction to hear that case, and so the case gets thrown out. And that's what's happened in lots of multiple cases that have been thrown out as having not been timely filed. I have to compare that back to your statute because you're not a Chapter 36 district. You have your own statute that says what procedure you have to follow, and I'm trying to figure out what the implication is for this district. Right now, I don't think there's going to be one, but we'll have to see what kind of decision the court finally comes up with and compare that to what your statute says. So I'll be keeping track of that. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions y'all have. We do have one item for executive session that we need to go into executive session on.
Any questions for Greg?
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you. So we have item 12, which is the possible action on a counteroffer from Ronel Hernandez. Is this the item for executive session?
It is.
So really, we should skip down to item 13 first, and then we'll come back to item 12 after we have our executive session. So with that being said, I'll call us into an executive session. So the Board of Directors of the Harris-Galveston Subsidence District will now meet in closed executive session to consult with an attorney on litigation, settlement offers, and other legal matters as authorized by the
We're good. So thank you, Brian.
All right, we're good.
From Elizabeth, is it fixed?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I need. That was my question.
All right, the time is now 10:39. And I'll declare us back into regular session, having concluded our executive session and taken no action in executive session. That will bring us back to item 12, which is consider possible action on a counteroffer from Ronel Hernandez regarding well number 15565. Do we have any motions?
I move that we accept the counteroffer from Ronel Hernandez.
I'll second.
Subject to the staff recommendation with respect to the permit term?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what I meant.
just asking for clarification. So, all right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion needed? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Guess that takes us to the end of the agenda. And just before we wrap up, I'll take my chairman's prerogative and make a couple of comments. And one is, I want to apologize for not yet having wrapped up the ad hoc committee with respect to the general manager's annual plan as such. I had some personal issues. My 92-year-old mother went into hospice in January and ended up passing away. She was up in Dallas, so I was out of town a little more than expected. But I'm back, and we'll get that wrapped up. I get an email each morning, signed up for something, I don't know what, from the New York Times, and it looks like there's an article in there today that the East Coast is sinking, and I only get the blurbs because I haven't gone and searched for the full article, but it sounded like the East Coast is sinking, and they were surprised that it seems to be because of groundwater withdrawal. So,
imagine that.
I don't know. I may be mischaracterizing the article because I just get the little, you know, blurb that's supposed to catch your attention. But might be something worth taking a look at.
So is it sinking at the same rate as the West Coast? And I mean,
I think that's maybe more earthquake related. Don't know. All right.
INSAR.
Well, thank you very much. I guess that is it. Meeting adjourned.
Thanks.